Donald Trump's business acumen and Hillary Clinton's trade position, two parts of last night's debate that may have needed some simultaneous translation. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Some Marketplace angles on the presidential debate. My colleague will get to Hillary Clinton's nuance on trade in a moment, but first, Donald Trump's nuance on his own business skills. These are among moments with both candidates last night that many in the audience might have been left with a sense of, what are they trying to say? For instance, the twin subjects were Clinton's missing emails, then Trump's tax returns, which he's not made public. Trump said he's made other financial disclosures and then turned the subject.
The other thing, I'm extremely underleveraged.
Trump then talked about real estate buildings worth $3.9 billion. The number 650 came up. He then said to back up this point that he could give the public some financial references, banks to check in with.
If that would help you, I would give you a list of banks. These are very fine institutions, very fine banks. I could do that very quickly. I am very underleveraged. I have a great company. I have a tremendous income. And the reason I say that is not in a braggadocious way. It's because it's about time that this country had somebody running it that has an idea about money.
All right. Now, here's what this section may have meant in the meta sense. Ian Bremmer is president and founder of the New York-based Eurasia Group, a political risk research and consulting firm.
He's a successful businessman. He wants to show everyone he's strong and successful. He's worth a lot of money. He does not want, under any circumstances, to give his tax returns up. And I think that that was Hillary's response. Well, why would that be? Is it because he's not actually worth that much? Or is it because he doesn't actually pay anything? I think a lot of Americans have that concern. A lot of Americans have the email concern about Hillary, which is why he tried to turn that around. But in that exchange, Hillary got the best of it.
Now, if that was among sections of the debate that needed some translation, here's another one, but from Hillary Clinton, where she stands on trade deals. Trump has made it clear that he abhors the North American Free Trade Agreement.
I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. I wrote about that in...
You called it the gold standard.
You called it
the gold standard of trade deals.
TPP is what they're referencing there. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, this one is yours.
Right, David. Both of them actually had some truth in their statements about the TPP. Clinton did indeed call it the gold standard of trade deals in her book, but that was before the details of that deal were negotiated. Now, since then, Clinton has said she's opposed to it and that she won't change that position once elected. Last night, Clinton also defended her record on other trade deals.
When I was in the Senate, I had a number of trade deals that came before me, and I held them all to the same test. Will they create jobs in America? Will they raise incomes in America? And are they good for our national security? Some of them I voted for. The biggest one, a multinational one known as CAFTA, I voted against.
That's the Central American Free Trade Agreement. CAFTA was one of two trade deals Clinton voted against during her time as senator from New York. She voted in favor of several others, but at the time, back in 2005, she said CAFTA didn't include adequate labor standards.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington, thank you. Markets, the Mexican peso rose against the dollar overnight. A bet traders say that Hillary Clinton's performance was strong last night. There's a big study just out today about gender in the workplace by Lean In, the organization started by Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg and the consulting firm McKinsey. They surveyed 34,000 people at 132 companies in North America. Alexis Krivkovich is a partner at the consulting firm McKinsey and a lead researcher on the study. Alexis, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
So since last year, what should we say? Some progress with a question mark over the some?
I'd say there's definitely a question mark. We're seeing that corporate America is still quite far behind when it comes to gender parity in this country, and in particular that women are falling behind early. It's those first promotions that are really holding them back, and they continue to lose ground at every step.
I'm going to ask you about those first promotions in just a second, but the phenomenon you're talking about is particularly pronounced when you're talking about people of color trying to get promotions?
It's absolutely especially acute for women of color. We see that early on, women of color are represented relative to their position in the U.S. population, but by the C-suite, they're virtually not present. We only see 3% of them at the senior executive level.
Let's talk about these early steps up to manager when you're going through an organization, the early promotions. Tell me about what you found then in terms of gender.
Well, this was really surprising to us because we would expect that first promotion is a point where women and men are perhaps facing the most equal experiences, both in the workplace and in the home environment. It's also where we tend to see most of our youngest generation and millennials, and a lot of people expect to see a lot of change there. And unfortunately, what we found in the research is really the reverse, which is that for every 100 women that are promoted at that first entry level to manager, 130 men are. So women are falling behind quite acutely at that very first step-up moment.
Getting ahead at work also involves getting feedback and negotiating promotions, but your research finds, again, a difference between men and women when it comes to these conversations?
Absolutely. And the encouraging piece is that men and women both state that they're asking for and they're interested in feedback at the same rates. But women are stating that they don't receive it nearly as often. They're, in fact, 30% less likely to get monthly input. And when it comes to difficult and critical feedback, while managers think that they're giving it to the same degree to men and women, women are saying they're not receiving it at the same rates. And that's a real problem when you think about the input you need to really elevate performance over time.
Alexis Krivkovich is a partner at the consulting firm McKinsey and a lead researcher on the study. Ms. Krivkovich, thank you for this.
Thank you.
We'll put up a link to that data at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio, and it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.